The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You're listening to Nightmare on Film Street. The current time is 6:66. Traffic is clear ahead from here to the afterlife, but it's hell outside. For the next hour, you're on Nightmare Time. So, let's give a grave welcome to our hosts, John and Kim.
Hello again, fiends, and welcome back to Nightmare on Film Street, the horror movie podcast for the casually obsessed. I'm John.
I'm Kim.
And today we are closing out our Fright Before Christmas double feature with Alex de la Iglesia's The Day of the Beast. Spanish horror fans will likely recognize Iglesia from Witchin' and Bitchin', which came out early 2000s.
We need to get that film on the podcast. If you haven't seen Witchin' and Bitchin', it is a fucking ride.
It's great. It's so a bunch of bank robbers who wind up in a den with a bunch of witches.
Hijinks abound.
Hijinks abound, yeah. Also, he also directed The Bar, which is really fun.
That's a newer one, and that one's less horror, but it's definitely really gory, comedy, dark action action.
Yeah, there's a sniper who's got a whole bunch of people pinned down at a bar, and if anybody leaves, they die, is kind of the idea. Super fun, super over the top. And you can really see it in The Day of the Beast. This obviously came before both of those movies, and you can see the footprints of both of them in here.
Yeah, absolutely. And this was a first-time watch for me. I did not have this film on my radar. I thought that I had tapped all of the horror Christmas movies, Christmas-related horror movies, but I had not.
For anybody unfamiliar with The Day of the Beast, it is a horror comedy that is really the satanic nativity scene, right? Is that the best way to describe it? The Antichrist
I'm not getting an image here.
The Antichrist is coming back. The apocalypse is about to happen on Christmas Eve, and we've got three not-so-wise men that have to try and stop the devil from taking over the world.
Okay, you really proved your point just there. Good work. Yeah, but as true as that is, we are only going by the account of one person who is trying to prove this to everybody in the movie through math and algorithms and cryptograms and deciphering code between the text. So the entire movie, you're not quite sure whether you believe him or if you do, and you're following along on his crazy journey, but it remains to be seen if it actually truly is the Day of the Beast.
I was gonna say that, you know, we do see the devil at some point, but this is well after all three characters in the movie have dropped acid. So.
All of the characters are on drugs, John.
So there's also that. But I mean, hey, drugs are just the gateway to open you up to be able to see that kind of stuff.
Is what people who are on drugs say who are trying to convince you the stuff they're seeing is real.
Look, Kim, it's not peer pressure. It's just your turn. I need you to take this tab of acid with me. It's Christmas. How else are we supposed to celebrate?
Eggnog and acid.
So as the person who is seeing the movie for the first time, talking to anybody out there who has not yet seen the movie, can you give me three good things about The Day of the Beast?
Number one, maybe not necessarily a necessity, but always sweetens it when it happens. Heavy metal with your Satan.
Right, you gotta.
You don't gotta, but when you do, it is the cherry on the sundae. I love a heavy metal horror that's got me some devil worship. There's a few of them, but there's never enough. And this one nails it because we have such a funny, lovable character named Jose, who's a metalhead, and he's helping our priest, even though he knows he's a priest, because he thinks he's cool.
I mean, if I ran a record shop, especially a heavy metal
record came in and was like, give me your heaviest.
Yeah, gave him a list of, like, really heavy bands. And he's like, God damn, you're way cooler than I thought you were. Here, this one's on the fucking house. What's your number two?
Number two, Goaty Goodness. There are...
Also not a guarantee, but always appreciated in your Satanist movie.
Exactly. You want a black goat, you get a black goat. And you get more. You get more than just a black goat. You get some real horned, devil-y loveliness. And whether or not it's real is... it's the eye of the beholder stuff, right?
Right.
For sure. And number three, I'm going to go with... A fraud magician. One of the three wise men, as John mentioned, is a TV psychic. Think of your Chris Angel type.
Right, exactly.
He's offering and promising a lot in terms of the future and reading minds and predicting. He's got books. He's got merchandise. It's a little bit of a sham, and our preacher goes to him for spells and hexes and selling his soul to the devil, and it turns out to not be real. Or does it?
Those are three good things about the Day of the Beast. It's also just fucking hilarious. Like, it is so goofy. It is full of great gags and great camera shots. Like, it's always hard on the podcast to be like, the fucking cinematography in this movie is great, but like, holy shit, it has some great trick cinematography in it. And we highly encourage you check it out. It is perfect for your Halloween. It is perfect for your holiday horror watch list, especially if you're looking for something a little off the beaten path.
And a surprisingly good pairing with our last movie, Maniac Cop 2, that even though this one is definitely a little bit more supernatural and zany, whereas Maniac Cop 2 is serious, we also have a full body burn.
Fuck yeah, we do.
We have a lot of neon cool lighting.
Some Christmas songs that are turned into creepy rendition, especially Silent Night. Silent Night gets used a lot in this movie, and every time it's kind of like haunting. Like, you don't notice that it's a Christmas song right away. It just sounds like spooky atmospheric shit.
Mm-hmm. And they're both really metropolitan.
We're gonna get into full detail on the Day of the Beast right after the trailer.
Are you gonna be able to find an English language trailer?
Oh, probably not. Not at all. The Day of the Beast from 1995 is currently sitting at a 7.3 out of 10 on IMDb, 77% on Rotten Tomatoes, and 3.7 out of 5 on Letterboxd.
My favorite overall thing about this movie, what sold me most, was just the personality of it. It's such a zany movie with arguably dark subject matter, but the whole thing feels just like a night of misadventure.
Oh, sure.
And there are so many wonderful characters in it, but even the same as with Maniac Cop 2, the side characters are wonderful. And I'm just talking about like the boarding house with the metalhead's mom and Mina, the lady employee, and Grandpa, who just likes to be naked.
Yeah, I don't know if Grandpa enjoyed walking around naked before his grandson started feeding him tabs of acid every single day, or if that just developed naturally after becoming an acid freak. But yes, the characters in this movie are so much fun. The camera could just, like, decide to follow a different person for the next 20 minutes
and you'd
be on board.
And you'd be fine with it. Yeah, you'd be totally fine with it. It's so much fun. One of my favorite characters of the whole movie is the magician Kavan's girlfriend, who's just showing up because they were supposed to have a Christmas Eve date, and she stumbles into a kidnapping... forced Satanism ritual?
Can you imagine? Like, you show up at your boyfriend's place? I mean, like, first off, yeah, sure, he's kidnapped. That's gonna be scary no matter what. But also,
They need your blood.
They need your blood. Now they need somebody else's blood because you're not a virgin. And then also they're going to do a full satanic ritual, having zero knowledge of how to pull off a satanic ritual.
But so her first, like when she first shows on to the into the film, she falls down the stairs and she gets a gnarly head wound. And the rest of the movie, the back of her head is just blood-filled, matted, and caked. And yes. She's running around trying to get away from this priest who's maybe trying to murder her. It's just fucking hilarious. This movie is the horror equivalent of Home Alone.
Wow, that's a really good, that's actually a really good description. If, like, the kids that are alone in the house are also the kids that are trying to break in. Like, they're their own villains. The beginning of the movie is great because you have two priests getting together in Rome, in the Vatican, and it's real serious.
It is so serious. Like, I was like, what is this movie?
It's kind of like the beginning, not like the beginning of The Exorcist, but it's treated without any humor. I have found out through study that the apocalypse is coming. It's happening tomorrow night. No, the priest in the movie is explaining to another priest, like a big exorcist, like somebody who studies the devil.
Shit's going down.
Yeah, and you know, he's like, you know, okay, good. I'm glad you came to me. We got to keep this a secret. You know, everybody will think we're crazy if we try and talk about it, and we don't have enough time to get no's from the people above us. So we're just, you know, the two of us, as long as we stick together, are gonna make this out and save the world. And then, bam, a cross falls and kills one of them immediately.
That is your opening of the movie.
So good. That's your divine influence. Like, God stepped in and saved the one priest, right? The devil was there that's also the line too. It's like, we gotta keep this real quiet because the devil may have already heard this conversation. I think that's why he says they can't get help, because they don't want the devil has ears everywhere, and he may have already heard us whispering about it and has already dispatched one of them.
Which is funny, because the priest goes on to go alone, but he tells everybody he meets, especially, like, one of my favorite moments is when he's being held for shoplifting at a bookstore, and he tries to explain this to the manager at the store.
Who's buying it? Who's really, really, you don't think so?
No, because he's like, yeah, I totally believe you. He leans out the door and he's like, see if any of the mental hospitals in town have lost a priest.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. My mistake. I was buying it, I guess. In that moment, I'm like, oh shit. Yeah, it's Christmas Eve. This is all adding up. The math makes sense. He's got a chalkboard and everything. Like, he's showing him how it works. I think that he is got no problems telling anybody because he already knows the devil's onto him. Like, especially the fact that the devil has just killed his priest buddy, who is going to help him do all this.
I guess that's true. But then why is it... So his goal, he believes that the Day of the Beast, the Antichrist, is going to be born at some point after midnight on Christmas Eve, technically Christmas Day before dawn. Mm-hmm. And he wants to get in good with the devil by sinning a whole bunch and then selling his soul to the devil so that he can be wise to where the Antichrist is being born.
Yeah. So I don't think that he is trying to get in good with the devil. It's that he needs to sell his soul to the devil to find out where the location is. He needs to get insider information the man himself.
Yeah, so he's trying to get that information from the devil. So he's trying to trick the devil.
He is trying to trick the devil. Absolutely. But the reason he has to continue to sin before calling upon the devil is because he needs the devil to trust him. He needs the devil to think that he's being serious about this.
Don't you think he's going to have, like, at least some kind of records? I don't know what kind of records the devil keeps, but he's just like, oh, so he's only been sinning for 24 hours?
Yeah, but he's a priest and he's breaking as many commandments as he can beforehand. I don't think it matters. Like, once he sells his soul, it's not like he can, like, oh, I have my fingers crossed, I take it back. Like, he is selling his soul to the devil and he means it. And later on in life, when he does eventually die, he will go to hell. And he knows this. That's what's so interesting about his character. And
he's gonna get out of jail free pass.
He's gonna try. He's definitely gonna spend the rest of his life trying, but that's not a guarantee because he signed a contract.
Killing the Antichrist is pretty good in God's books, I think.
It might be, but I think it's like solving a math equation. Like, unfortunately, the contract is deep in the parentheses. Like, you got to solve for that first before you solve for anything else. And he has already sold his soul to the devil.
But it turns out that that doesn't really work, because once they actually do the ritual, which is fucking fantastic when they do it, these three dunderheads standing inside, you know, a sacred pentacle circle, and the devil basically, like, snorts in their face.
Yeah, he leaves them a message saying this is not a game. So, like, he doesn't give them the location, but he has definitely sold his soul to the devil at this point. He has switched teams. And the devil kind of knows that he's fucking around, but he doesn't want him to find out. He doesn't want him to find out where the baby is going to be born, so he doesn't give him the information.
But also, they're all on acid, so you don't... I don't necessarily believe them. I was surprised when there was anything at the finale.
Kim, that's what faith is all about. You have to know that it doesn't make sense, but you have to believe it. You know, you have to have faith that it's gonna happen.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, that's the message of the movie. Man, I don't... Okay, so, I mean, it's fun that the movie is trying to stay ambiguous about whether or not this is really happening, whether or not you can really believe it, which I think is needed for some sort of faith-based horror thing. Like, does The Exorcist kind of end with ambiguity? Because I'm pretty sure it's like, no, it's definitely a demon that has thrown a person from a window down the stairs. Okay, so that movie doesn't have ambiguity, but that's what makes The Day of the Beast so great, Kim. It exists in the gray area that religion already does in the real world.
Yeah, I'm agreeing with you. This okay. was my point. Yeah. You're proving my point.
Yeah, but you need ambiguity to get away with it. I think they totally see the devil. Just because they drop acid doesn't mean that it's not really happening.
My favorite thing about the movie, though, and maybe I've said this a few times, one of my favorite things about the movie, though, is that he convinces his two partners in crime with very little facts and information. The metalhead is just on board just from the get-go.
Because it's metal.
Because it's super metal AF. And Kavan, the magician, is convinced by seeing this goat figure in his apartment after they do the ritual.
Yeah. Because he's essentially been studying satanic stuff his whole career. He's always thought it's bullshit, but now he's seeing proof that it's real.
I know, but he was kidnapped through the whole ritual. He's doing it reluctantly. He's bullshitting. He's making stuff up. He's like, oh, you need the blood of a maiden, a virgin girl. You need this. You need to carve things in the floor.
And then
la,
he laughs
la, la.
When they start the ritual.
And he makes it up, and then it sort of works, maybe, but they're on drugs, and he's totally convinced, and he helps them throughout the rest of the movie, and he becomes one of the key players in them finding the Antichrist. I just love that everybody's on board for something that has definitely not been proven.
But what if they're wrong? You know, that's the wager against it all, right? Like, what if he's right? You know, I guess at some point, this guy's like in for a penny, in for a pound. Like, hey, they've already tortured me a little bit. I've already dropped, like, my Christmas Eve plans are canceled. So what does it hurt to go ahead and do this?
He seems fully invested. He sends his girlfriend home with her head wound.
Oh, that was
like,
pretty funny.
I have to do this.
Yeah, everything's fine. Don't worry about it. These guys aren't that crazy. I'm good. And then goes on television, wields his power as a TV personality to get to cancel the Christmas Eve programming and come on to be like, the world's ending, motherfuckers.
Yeah, he definitely...
The devil is here.
He definitely gets his show canceled after that because the producers are like, what the fuck are you doing?
I think his show stays on TV for another 20 years. He's not on it. By the end of the show, we find out that he's kind of disappeared. No one knows what happened to him, but somebody else has taken his place.
Mm-hmm.
I think that becomes the stuff of legends, and that show is still running to this day. No doubt.
I love that.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
They are a fun ragtag band, though. They're real great. And I think they don't necessarily know why they are following this priest. I think that's part of it. Mm-hmm. I think there is a celestial pull. they know it's silly, and they know that it would be foolish of them maybe to go ahead and follow through with it. But something's telling them. There's a voice in the back of their head. There's like a little devil on their shoulder telling them that they should just see this to the end.
Well, and the priest just has so much conviction. For a priest to have enough conviction to
sell his soul to the devil.
Well, and to commit sin. For a priest to actively commit sin, he pushes a mime down the subway stairs.
You brought that up with no fanfare? I was going to work toward it. I was like, perfect. She can finish whatever the fuck she's saying, and then we'll double back and talk about the first 10 minutes of this movie that are just comedic gold. Because all you know about this guy in the opening credits of the movie is that he is a serious priest who works for the Vatican and is here to stop the devil. Cut to him just trouncing around Madrid, being an asshole. Like, he literally walks up to a homeless guy who's been lit on fire and is dying. He leans in real close and says, "I hope you burn in hell." And then pushes a mime down the stairs onto the subway. Like, he's just doing... He steals money from a panhandler the day before Christmas Eve.
He steals a suitcase.
He steals a suitcase. He steals books. He is just walking around doing every kind of sin that he can come up with.
I love when he's at the metal shop and his new buddy, Jose, gives him a tape and he's like, "I can't pay for this."
"No, I'm not going to pay for this," is what he says. He says, "I'm not going to pay for this. Is that okay?" Yeah, the Satanica band. Love it. You would think that Jose is a member of that band. At every opportunity, he brings up the band. Like, they're about to do the ritual. Like, "Hey, maybe he's got a tattoo. maybe we should listen to Satanica, maybe, possibly, for the ritual." And everybody says no. They go to a fucking club at the end of the movie called Hell to see the band Satanica. Yo, I would give anything to go to a Satanic heavy metal show on Christmas Eve. Yeah.
That sounds so fun.
I'm just going to keep tweeting about that every year from now on. And then at some point, we'll be near one, and somebody will at least let us know, like, "Hey, just a short drive. You could come worship the devil on Christmas Eve." Like, fuck yeah, I'll be there.
Do you remember that one year we went to a Krampus party and we all dressed up as Krampus and it was amazing? But then when we got there, it was all like techno music and everybody was dropping E. And you're
that
like,
"It was weird.
Where's the metal?"
It was billed to us as a heavy metal night. It essentially became the rave night. We did not know. We were there till 4 in the morning.
It was fun. Yeah. And our costumes were dope.
Yeah, they looked great.
You had a lantern. I had a furry coat. I was goat cheek.
We were ready to summon the devil.
I think I still have those horns.
We'll break them out on Christmas Eve. We already have mulled wine. Like, how hard is it for us to just get a cauldron? Like, we could do this.
We do have cauldrons. I mean, they're plastic.
How cool would our floor look if we carved a pentagram into it?
We're not doing that.
But we just put a rug over it.
Chalk.
No.
You get chalk.
You carve it in, you leave the rug, and then when we sell the house, whenever,
the
rug stays.
That's weird.
Yeah. It is weird. I guess
I'm uncomfortable.
I personally would love to buy a house and then discover a pentagram somewhere that somebody had carved into the floor or into the attic.
Oh,
but I'm sure other people would not appreciate it, especially here in the religious capital of Canada. One of the things I really like about the story of the movie and on the edges of the story is that the world really is kind of falling apart. Crime is on the rise. There's a group of people who are going around killing homeless people at night, setting them on fire.
And they're crazy because the lead guy looks like fucking Tom Jones. And he's wearing like a dinner suit and he's like smoking a cigar. And he's the head of this gang that is like beating the fuck out of homeless people and lighting them on fire with gasoline. It feels very Purge night.
Yeah, totally. And the news reports, the stuff you're seeing as the characters are walking around the street is that the world really is going to hell on Christmas Eve.
Well, we go into a convenience store where a bunch of people have been murdered and people are just act like nothing happened.
Right. Well, the funny thing about that is that the TV magician, Professor Kavan, goes in to buy wine, I think, and is either so full of himself that he doesn't notice there are dead bodies around, or this has been happening enough that he gives zero shits and he just doesn't want to be around to deal with the police paperwork. Because he literally steps over a dead body to get into the fridge and then leaves a bunch of change to a dead person, to a dead clerk behind the counter. I don't know if he knows that. Like, I don't know how humorous that is, or if that's just the grim reality of, like, the Mad Max world that Madrid is becoming.
Yeah, so I guess it's only natural that this is kind of the end times and people don't even know it, but that if you heard that it was, you wouldn't even be surprised.
Yeah, I think that's what everybody says every fucking 10 years, right? Like, everybody was saying that in 1999, everybody's saying that now, like, oh, the world is ending, can't you see it? It's just over the horizon. Even the non-religious people are finally saying it.
That's very true. There has been a lot of, we're in the shit.
Yeah, it's fire and brimstone, but it's, like, volcano smoke and plastics in the water, that's what it is.
Microplastics,
bitch. It's gone from fire and brimstone to microplastics and forest fires. That's what we're dealing with. And that really comes back in the movie, in The Day of the Beast, the sort of hellfire surrounding everybody really comes back by the end of the movie and is surprisingly integral to the Antichrist story. But I was curious to get your thoughts on that, because the characters discover the location of the Antichrist in the signature of Satan. Like, they see it on a bunch of old contracts that he says are real that people have used to sign, like, I'm guessing, like, the Salem witch trial style stuff. Satan's signature has these two little claws in it, and they also see the claws on
the body of the kid that he exercised.
Right, that's okay. Sorry, I had forgotten where else he saw it. There was a kid on his television program who was possessed that he exercised that also has the same claw marks, and like, that's really Satan's signature, the two claws, which they decide represents a specific building in Madrid that you and I are very unfamiliar with.
But is
Parliament
spotlighted like it's a big deal building?
Yeah, I think it's probably Parliament, maybe?
It looked like it was under construction, though.
It did, yeah.
Maybe it was just a new development or something.
Anyway, they get there and are immediately beaten up by the group that has been hunting homeless people the whole movie.
Yeah, and they were always kind of a deal, so I always felt a certain way about them. And then when it was revealed that they were the quote-unquote Satanists that were heralding this birth.
Yeah, they seem like the horsemen of the apocalypse, in a sense.
Or demons. Or
one of them is very definitely a demon. Like, the priest sees him in his true form, and he's a fucking, like, Baphomet goat-style dude holding a baseball bat.
Yeah, but I don't know how I feel about them.
Yeah, because it kind of like a Raiders of the Lost Ark scenario, right? Where they're going around killing homeless people this whole movie.
Mm-hmm.
When they arrive at the building, they hear a baby crying. A baby has just very recently been born. Under a cardboard box. Both of his parents homeless. And then they show up to kill the three of them. And they do that. Like, they shoot the homeless people rather than setting them on fire. They end up setting Kavan on fire. So it seems like the priest and his buddies, similar to Indiana Jones just doing nothing, could have hung out at home, not sold their souls to the devil, and had this taken care of.
Yeah, like, is it just like one of those things that they didn't even know who the Antichrist was going to be? And because they kill homeless people, just like, that's their deal. That's their way of creating chaos and violence and sin in the world, that they are their own undoing? I'm not quite sure. Or is it because they're trying to shoot Angel the priest and they miss and hit the Antichrist?
That's my thing, is that I think maybe just by them being there, it changed the scenario. Like, they weren't supposed to kill this baby, but they did.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. It seems a little opposite the rest of the movie. That's the thing that's kind of always bothered me about it, that it doesn't really feel like they helped stop the end of the world. But the other problem you run into is that you have these characters who are very clearly your heroes that are working toward finding and stopping the devil from bringing the Antichrist to the...
Like, the whole goal of the movie is to kill a baby.
To kill a baby, yeah! That's the thing! Like, you get, like, an hour into this movie, and you're just like, wait, how is this priest going to kill a baby and then also still be the guy we root for at the end of the movie?
They're like, no, this is reverse Jesus.
Yeah, it's fine.
Yeah, the ending doesn't really land with me, and that might just be because I don't quite understand how the guys that are murdering homeless people fit into the story, and maybe if I was more familiar with kind of the biblical nature of it, it would click better, or even like the prophecy of the Antichrist, the four horsemen of the apocalypse, if I had more of a standing knowledge of that, maybe it would make more sense.
I think we're looking for connections that maybe aren't necessarily there, would be my thing. Like, I don't think they're specifically the horsemen. It is just weird that one of them is very clearly the devil. I like the idea that these serial killers, more or less, accidentally kill the Antichrist. Like, I think that's kind of a cool idea. I think by making one of them pure evil, like, the devil is with them,
mm-hmm.
is kind of what tips it over into the oddball scenario.
Do you agree that it doesn't feel as monumental as it should?
Yes.
I feel like the finale is a little lackluster for just how wild and zany leading up to it was.
Agreed.
I expected more of a spectacle out of it.
Yeah,
and the fact that it was just homeless people under this building and these guys that have been running around the whole movie end up being like, it's just like, oh, well, yeah. Okay.
I think the problem you run into...
Like, the big conspiracy unravels a bit for me.
I'm 100% with you on that. And again, I think the problem you run into is that... Because I was about to say, like, oh, what you need is, like, a ticking clock scenario where, like, we find a person who is pregnant and in labor, and now we've got to get there before the baby's born kind of thing. It's like, but you still are showing up to kill a baby or kill a woman who is in labor so the baby dies. Like, all of that is bad. But it does not feel like a big final showdown at the end of it. I guess you could go...
It didn't necessarily have to be a killing a baby thing, though. It could have been a very traditional satanic ritual where they had kidnapped a pregnant woman and they were trying to bring the Antichrist soul into that baby. Like, it could have been something like just stopping a ritual.
I totally agree with you, but I think... They were maybe holding themselves real hard to the idea, and this is one of my favorite things about the movie, that the devil is constantly trying to make a mockery out of God and Jesus and that whole thing by...
Reversing everything.
Yeah, by mimicking them, by doing a farce of it
all. Like, you have priests, I have priests.
Yeah.
You have a Jesus, I have a Jesus.
But even more than that, it's like, your Jesus was born humbly in a barn... I'm going to do basically the same version of that, but in 1995, it's homeless people living in a construction site.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think that's all great. I think that's all real smart and fun choices.
Well, and based on what the priest says earlier in the movie, he says, like, it's going to be out in the open and right under our nose.
Yes.
And what better than homeless people who you completely, like, ignore?
Yeah,
all
you
the
just
time.
Walk past them.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think all of that's great. And it's makes for problems when you get to the end. Because, yeah, like, unfortunately, you do kind of need somebody to, like, stare the devil in the face and laugh at them or spit in their eye or something. And, like, Jose gets to do that, but then dies and
feels...
He gets thrown off a building.
I hate it.
It's... No, I'm not happy about
Justice
it.
Justice for Jose.
Because he could have, based on the rest of how the movie unfolded, walked away with the rest of those
dudes.
And I
feel like the devil should like Jose. He's very loyal.
Of the three of them, he's the one that's probably still going to come back into the fold, you know, before the end of his life.
He was along for the ride for the shits and gigs, not for, like, saving the world.
Yeah, he's like, it's fucking heavy, man. He can't say no. He's like, so on board with it. He's like, this sounds rad. I gotta do this. I don't think he wants to stop the Antichrist. I think he just wants to see the devil, you know?
And have some cool subversive friends.
Yeah. As much as he would probably be, like, one of the worst friends you have. He seems like he'd be a great best friend.
One of my favorite moments is just when he's running around the background trying on all of Kavan's stupid masks.
Yeah, and breaking every single one of them.
I just love it. I could watch that for at least an hour.
He's such a dope. Yeah. His mom's a lot of fun. One of my favorite shots of the movie is when the priest is fighting his mom, who's just like, fuck it, I have a shotgun now. And
oh,
I'm
she's kicking his ass.
Yeah. She is mopping the floor with him all across her hostel where he's staying. The best shot of the whole movie. Two incredible shots in this movie are when she sort of smashes him out a window and we're like the floor above looking down.
Oh, that's so good.
Incredible. And then also the close-up shot of him looking for a person in the phone book, and it's just like a finger right against the screen, and we're just dragging our finger down through the phone book. Great shit. Love it.
Yeah, there are a lot of just flashes of brilliance in the movie.
Oh yeah.
Which is always great. When you're watching something wild and zany, you do not expect amazing cinematography.
Yeah.
And when you get it, you're just like, I don't deserve this.
It feels in line with the zany nature as well, right? Like it's kind of a cartoonish moment, and I love it when the camera work has its own character to it as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this movie, you know, despite the ending not 100% working for me, I think it's
kind
a hell
of irrelevant
a lot of fun.
Because yeah. The movie is so fucking fun.
That's the thing, like, you completely look past it. Like, I felt the same way when I watched it the first time. I'm not surprised to hear you say it, and I'm also just like, who fucking cares? I had a blast.
I love a movie about friendship, and it's a movie about friendship with the fucking devil. Like, this is my fucking cake and eat it too movie.
Right? Merry Christmas, motherfuckers. So, Kim, what's your rating of The Day of the Beast?
I'm going to give it a 3 out of 4.
I'm also a 3 out of 4, yeah. It's a lot of fun. It's a cool little off-the-beaten-path Christmas movie.
Yeah, and you totally get Christmas vibes. We didn't really talk about it much, but it's definitely Christmas. There's a Christmas parade. There's the three wise men. They break into a girl's apartment. She thinks they're Santa Claus.
You technically get, like, the North Star or whatever it is that's guiding them. It's just sort of another piece of capitalist art.
And you gotta admit, a day for the Antichrist to be born on Christmas is fucking perfect.
Love it.
Very smart.
Especially in the 90s. Something about it. It just feels right. if not during the Y2K, mid-90s in Madrid. But that's just our opinion. Let us know what you thought of The Day of the Beast over on Twitter at NOFS Podcast or in the Nightmare on Film Street Discord at NOFSpodcast.com/Discord.
And a very happy holidays from John and I at Nightmare on Film Street to you. We hope however you celebrate, whatever you celebrate, you're eating lots of food, you're drinking lots of whatever, and you're watching lots of horror movies. Hopefully Day of the Beast and Maniac Cop 2.
But until next time, I'm John.
I'm Kim.
Stay creepy.
It appears you made it out alive, but we'll get you next time. Help us to grow the horde. Leave a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you subscribe. More terror can be found lurking on our website, NOFSpodcast.com. Until next time, stay creepy, fiends.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Get all the Masterforce outdoor power equipment you need to maintain your yard at Menards. Own the outdoors with Masterforce 80-volt power equipment, delivering all the power of gas without the maintenance. The entire 80-volt line is powered by brushless motors for ultimate performance and productivity. From lawnmowers to leaf blowers, string trimmers, and more, find everything you need to create the lawn of your dreams with Masterforce power equipment at Menards.
Save